You are in tune to KTWH LP 99.5 FM, Timeless Sounds for All Ages, your local community radio station. Thank you for listening. Thank you for supporting. Thank you for being interviewed. Thank you for underwriting. Thank you for all the different ways that you volunteer to be part of our community via KTWH. Onward from grounds control into what's happening in just a few moments. Jay Belcastro with the update on Lake Superior High School. It's 9 o'clock.
Arrowhead Transit Buses supports programming on Two Harbors Community Radio. They offer their dial-a-ride service Monday through Friday from 7 a.m. till 6 p.m. To schedule your ride in Two Harbors, you may call 1-800-862-0175 and press option 7.
Listening to KTWH, and I am on the phone with Jay Belcastro, Two Harbors. Oh, I was going to say Two Harbors High School principal, but you are now Lake County acting superintendent, also a regular on the show. Thank you so much for calling in, Jay.
Always my pleasure. Thank you for having me.
Yes. Well, once again, we have a transition coming up. This has happened many times this year, and being nimble on your feet seems to be the number one requirement for schools. And here we go again. So tell us about the change coming up, why it's happening, and the timing, and what it's going to look like.
Yeah, sure. So we've been slowly following the Lake County Public Health guidance, MDE's guidance, MDH's guidance. Anybody that we can talk to that has any expertise in the medical field to ensure we're doing a return safe, all of those folks have been brought in. And so at this point, with the numbers going down, and happy to report that Lake County and St. Louis County, where our students come from, both counties are experiencing a reduction in active case rates. So congratulations to everybody that's following mitigation strategies and listening to the guidance from CDC. That's really the driving force. So now that we know that our numbers are down, and any staff member district-wide, and I'm not talking simply teachers, everybody that wanted a vaccination, Lake County had the wherewithal to ensure that everybody was vaccinated. So I'm happy to report that we're in the 80 percentile of staff that have been fully vaccinated. That includes both shots. And so it's time to now return. And
yeah,
we always set a soft goal for the fourth quarter for Two Harbors High School. That was always in kind of the back of our minds. If the trajectory continued the way it was, we felt very good that that was going to be the target return. Then we got close, and then we struggled a bit with the how can we mitigate lunch in keeping that safe, and that was a hurdle. And so we worked with then a message had gone out to parents that Two Harbors was going to remain in distance learning. Then of course, like everything that's happened in 2021, things changed, and the governor came out with new regulations, guidelines, which then allowed us to ensure that we could follow those new guidelines, and that brought back our students. So we'll be returning all students to Two Harbors High School, which is the last school within the Lake Superior School District to have all students back. And that'll begin on Monday, April 12th, which is the beginning of the fourth quarter. So we should have 9 weeks of hearing over 600 kids in the building, and we're really excited about that.
Yeah, that is just such a wonderful milestone. It just seemed like maybe it was impossible a few months ago, and now here we are doing it. And I know as a parent and as a citizen of the area, I'm just very excited, and I feel like it's, there's just been so much learned about the virus since the beginning, and it just seems like whenever I talk to leaders, including Greg at the hospital and others, people just feel like we have a handle on this. So we know how to work with the numbers. It's not so much unknown. And I'm sure that same knowingness has gone into sort of how to open school. And it's not like there's going to be no COVID, I think, but there's definitely going to be a manageable amount is certainly the hope. And I would think we have good reason to think that's the way we can do it now.
Well, you know, and I agree with that. And you know, I sit on a call every Friday morning with the hospital folks. And again, we've been upfront the entire time. We are the experts in education. We are not the medical experts. So the district has stayed extremely consistent with messaging from Lake County Public Health. And it's so great. Now, you've heard me say this before. You know, I think we're very fortunate to be the only school district within the county allowing us complete and exclusive access to those folks. And
right.
I can't say enough for Greg and Lisa Hansen and Tracy Gilsvik. Tracy, for a long, long time, sat on our district COVID call every Thursday. So to have that presence and that professionalism as we're making these decisions, ultimately, here's the bottom line. We couldn't do anything that we believed was risky. That just wasn't an option. And we made that decision early on. And so when we decided to roll students back, we needed to know that, A, our mitigation strategies that we had in place were working, and two, whatever the most recent guidelines from the CDC and the Minnesota Department of Health were followed. And once we reached those two goals, then there wasn't a reason we felt we couldn't bring kids back. And that's where we're at. And we're really excited to have everybody back in the building.
Yeah. And I know that there's many details that are being talked about, in at least in our house, you know, what about backpacks, lockers, changing into clothes and all this and that. But, you know, one thing that I thought is interesting that keeps coming up is the complete lack of colds and flu this winter. And of course, part of that is due to the not everyone being in school at once, but also the masks. And there's sort of this somewhat tongue-in-cheek advice that maybe everyone should wear a mask in the months of January and February from now on, just keep those colds and flu at bay. So, I mean, I guess the point of all that is, you know, a lot has been learned for long and short term. Is there anything you want to say about extracurricular activities or other things that will be going on at the school?
Yeah, we're certainly planning out the spring, and our activities directors are doing a great job, you know, talking with coaches and making sure, you know, in a smaller district the size of Lake Superior School District, oftentimes our coaches have some sort of influence over multiple sports. And so if they were a fall sport a coach, they understood, and both our ADs did a great job communicating what the expectations were. But now for any new coaches, it's now back to educating them on here's the protocols, here's what we're going to follow. So everybody is ready to go, and our spring sports are excited to get in. It's, you know, it's kind of interesting. Northern Minnesota can snow any minute, but it seems like we've had some pretty good weather.
Yeah.
And we're excited to get those folks, those student athletes on the fields and on the track and ready to go.
Yeah, it seems like.
I have to share this, though. This is kind of a funny tidbit. So we meet every Thursday or every Wednesday at 3 o'clock with our district COVID team. And it was interesting to hear the nurses report that they had to deal with a stomach, you know, a kid came in with a stomach issue that wasn't COVID. So the humor is in the fact that we're all so excited for some sort of normalcy.
Yeah.
That our nurses are excited when somebody comes in that doesn't have COVID-like symptoms, but they can deal with, you know, the things that they deal with every single day.
So. Yeah, just like you say, just that normalcy just is such so fun. And yeah, well, that's wonderful
to
hear.
Well, I would say that moving forward, you know, we're going to come out of this with an understanding on the power of you know, consistent meetings. And so I think from the perspective of, you know, this is the most I've ever had communications with our school nurses. Usually it's, if there's something we got to talk about, we do. But just having that weekly presence, and sometimes the meetings are an hour, sometimes the meetings are 10 minutes, depending on the topics and what needs to be discussed. But yeah, I mean, we certainly have grown very, very close as a district team.
Yeah.
And we all know each other a lot better now, and what our houses look like, and in my case, what my garage looks like. And so as we've been on these Zoom meetings and Google meetings, but yeah, we're excited to reestablish some normalcy and giving that experiences, especially to our upperclassmen, you know, just making sure that whatever we could do to give that final experience, you know, and I've been fortunate to experience a senior year, and we certainly know that we've got kids now that haven't, and we want to really try to do our best to ensure there's some normalcy there as well.
Yeah, and we are hearing things like choir concerts, potential graduation. Is there anything you can say about those things yet?
I can tell you behind the scenes, the work that's been put in by Julie Benson, acting principal. We've got a great new assistant principal in Jessa Cook. So all of the things that just happen don't happen with tremendous backstories and back work. So the communications with different venues, if it's for the senior trip or prom, all of those things have been thoroughly discussed. And now knowing what some of our venue needs are, making sure that we can fit their needs, we're excited to bring all of those types of these back to our kids.
Yeah, well, that is...
One thing that'll be a little different, though, will be graduation. And so, you know, Two Harbors High School has this beautiful auditorium, but the numbers of people that like to come to graduation, and I think it's awesome. We've got people that show up to graduation that don't have a graduate or a family member that's a graduate.
Yeah.
But love to see kids graduate.
Right.
So what we're going to do this year is we're going to limit the number following, again, the most recent guidelines, but the conversation right now is bringing that experience into the auditorium. And if that's the case, it's we'll kind of formalize it a little bit different than in our gym, although a great venue. I think it's just the look it'll be in the auditorium. I'm excited to see what that looks like if that's the final decision.
Yeah. Yep. So it's generally, it sounds like we shouldn't assume things will be as normal, but we can just stay tuned and find out what's going to be happening when things come along and as they continue to change. I mean, it does amaze me how things continue to change, you know, sometimes weekly. We did get that. Yeah, it's going to be all distance. And then a week later, oh, nope, things have changed. And but, you know, it's what I find is interesting is how quickly everyone adapts now. Like, you plan something now, and if it doesn't happen, it doesn't happen. Everyone's just so used to that. Or if it does happen,
it
might just really, really, I don't know. We definitely have some new skills that we didn't have before.
Yeah, absolutely.
Yeah. Now, do you have any kind of updates for us on how you think teachers are faring and also students? We hear in the larger media a lot about, and you know, I definitely have seen depression and other difficulties arising from isolation. And, you know, do you have anything to speak to that concern?
It's an absolute concern. And I will say our staff, all staff, we're tired. We really are.
Yeah.
There's just, you know, there. If we were to say that this year is easy or what, it's been a challenge from the start. And unfortunately, there really wasn't an end. And that's the part where I go back and think, you know, we started this journey a year ago, March, and it was, you know, somewhat sprung on us. And from there, major changes made. And then through the summer, you know, our administrative team planning what the return was going to look like, certainly our teachers involved because they have to plan for what their classrooms are going to look like. So we're really tired. There's just no doubt about that. But, you know, Resilient is there. We're a resilient group, and they're doing what's best for the students in the Lake Superior School District. I give them huge props for that. But I will admit, I think come summertime, everybody's going to need a deep breath and some time to decompress and to just disappear. And so that I'm looking forward to. But as far as the mental health question, we're talking, you know, we're talking with our counselors. Are we going to need additional mental health support? That conversation is being there. We really need to be thinking also about our students that this distance learning experience has really not fared well for them, and what type of remediation strategies can we put in place. You know, we're looking at potentially partnering with a college to offer some off-site tutoring opportunities. So really what we do know is we're going to continue those conversations to ensure we're doing what's best for our kids.
Yep.
But there are certainly some major concerns, and but we got good people working on it and good partnerships being established.
Well said. Well, thank you so much, Jay. I'm trying to think if there's anything I forgot to ask you, or everyone watches, is there anything that just citizens in the community should look out for as the school makes this major transition?
Well, I think they're looking out for their concerns. You know, I had a student yesterday stop me and go, Mr. Belcastro, my mom is upset that you're forcing every kid to be tested. And I go, what did you say? You know, so I would say that if there are questions, reach out to me. You know, let's be transparent. Let's be a partner in this ever crazy, you know, changing world. But instead of letting something stew in misinformation, kind of like when we started that parent advisory group,
right?
We really want to ensure that people have the right information. And I don't want anybody to be challenged with misinformation that leads them down any right. form of additional anxiety. So yeah, reach out to me. I would say, or any of our administrative staff.
Yep.
You know, we're talking on a weekly basis, if not a daily basis, and we know at least what's happening that day. So if yeah. there's any questions, they can certainly reach out.
Great.
After that, I have no guarantees.
Right. Well, let's mentioning the testing, do you want to just clarify what that is, what the plan is?
Well, what we are doing is, you know, as you I'm sure heard, you know, the Department of Health is encouraging families and students to be tested. And so we're certainly encouraging that too. We're not mandating students be tested. That being said, we are offering the Lakespear School District as a drop-off site.
Yeah.
If there are parents that would like to have the test dropped off, then what we're doing is we're organizing with our pickup delivery service to ensure that those tests are delivered to the appropriate place. So
yeah.
that's what we're offering, and that's all found on our website. You know, we do have a new COVID website that was driven a lot by COVID, but there's really good information, and I would encourage people to go directed there and get the most recent information.
Yeah, the district has certainly had a website facelift. My goodness, that came in yeah. right in the middle of it all, too. I was impressed.
Yeah.
Oh.
Yeah, and that, you know, we knew that it needed to be a point of information, and it had to be quick and convenient. And again, I appreciate Lake County Public Health and using some of their federal dollars to assist in that development. And we worked with a local web designer to ensure that it was quick and easy, and took what we liked from the old site and got rid of what we didn't like, and feel good that we've got a good functioning site now.
Yeah, it looks really good, and we've used it quite a bit. So thank you so much.
Good to hear.
Yeah. Well, great to touch base, Jay. As always, you
Absolutely.
Sound really upbeat,
yeah.
and I can see why. So fun to chat, and I'm sure we'll talk again before the end of the year.
Sounds good. Everybody, I hope have a nice long weekend, and I look forward to chatting again.
All right. Sounds good. You take care.
Thanks, Kathy. Bye-bye.
Yeah, bye. That was Jay Bell Castro, Two Harbors High School former principal, now acting superintendent of Lake County. The interview, this interview is occurring on Tuesday, the 30th of March. You're listening to KTWH. All right, here we are on What's Happening on KTWH 99.5 FM. Kenny Blumenfeld, senior climatologist at the Minnesota Department of Natural Resources, is calling in as per usual to do his weather tidbits for us. Good morning, Kenny.
Good morning. How are you?
We are well. You know, the sun is shining today, and I think we have a high of 50. So after kind of a cold snap, I would call it, which we're hoping got the sugar syrup running again. We interviewed the sugar syrupers last week, and they were really hoping for a round two. I think it's gonna what we hear is be beautiful this weekend, and then we'll see what happens next. But dry, so that's my story for the week.
Yeah, maple syrup really likes those all those sugar harvesters. They like those fits and starts,
right?
And it's kind of a curse for other,
yeah.
It can be really bad for other things. I mean, we're on the cusp, and we're still at risk of having one of these false springs. Have you heard this term?
No, I have not.
So the false spring is kind of an artifact of, I mean, well, one, we've always had them to an extent. Whenever it gets warm unusually early, things start growing ahead of schedule.
Right.
It's obvious, and there's absolutely no disputing this, with the ongoing climate change, which has really hit winter temperatures hardest, we've had more of these instances of, you know, growing season type conditions creeping into March,
right,
in most of Minnesota, even February at times in southern Minnesota, and, you know, maybe in far northern Minnesota, maybe it's more like late March, early April, but this has become increasingly common, and we definitely have seen, you know, we saw down here the squill and the crocuses and some of those really early emergence a couple weeks ahead of schedule.
Yeah.
And the false spring The name for the fall spring is because it's like it's spring, right? But then you get a regular, well-timed, deep freeze, and it just, and it, you know, wipes out whatever it started. We had a nasty one in 2012, and it really hit some of our neighbors even harder. The cherry crop in Michigan got just blasted by this because temperatures during March had not only been warm, they'd gone into the 70s, 80s. We were having low temperatures at night in the 50s. There were like warm rains with thunderstorms.
Yeah.
And that's kind of, you know, that's a new entrant to our climate. But that doesn't mean that we're not still going to get, you know, a regular, well-timed deep freeze. And when the temperatures fell back into the teens, you know, or that April, it just, all these things were booming, you know, whether they were the soft fruits, lots of things had been budding. There were some flowers that had been starting to blossom, and then this freeze came in and just wiped everything out. So people who had their livelihood staked on it lost a fortune on that.
Yeah, but I can imagine. I can imagine it's a little bit dangerous when things start coming out that early.
Yeah, but the syrupers love it.
Yeah.
You know, let it all freeze up and, you know, kind of slow down. Yeah, they love it. So it can be really good. We've had some folks calling our office in recent years when we've had these kinds of fits and starts. 2017 especially comes to mind, where it was very warm, and then the bottom fell out, and then it got very warm again, and then the bottom fell out, and the syrup people were just delighted.
They just go all for weeks and weeks. It just keeps going.
Yeah,
you're right.
Yeah, the orchard people were having a cow, though. They did not, did not appreciate that.
So are we in you're saying that is definitely a possibility this year? We got to be on the lookout a little bit.
Well, think of your frost and freeze tables. I don't know if you're familiar with these, but they're sort of, you know, Minnesota and northern Minnesota is really not out of the woods for deep freezes for another month.
Right.
And so yeah, if we keep, whenever you're in a situation where you have, I mean, you could have a really above normal March and April. Like we were way above normal for March temperatures. We only had in many stations 3 or 4 days where the daily temperature averaged out to be below the long-term historical normal.
Right.
So 25, 26, 27 days were either normal or above normal. So there's a real tilt there. But, you know, it only takes one or two of those cold days. If it's just sort of normal level or maybe slightly exaggerated level of cold, to kind of knock everything backwards. And if you get 2 or 3 nights in a row of deep freeze, that can do some damage if things have started growing. And, you know, things shouldn't really be the,
right,
from a normal grow. We always tell the master gardeners, those really enthusiastic gardeners who go and get additional continuing education credit through Minnesota's extension, you know, they get super excited, and I've given climate talks to these groups up in St. Louis County. And, you know, it's a nice late March or early April morning, and they've all got their knee pads on and their trowels in hand. And, you know, it's also like, well, hang on though, because everything is real vulnerable now, you know.
Right.
So it's not that it's likely. It's just that even as we're above normal, all that the climate has to do, all the weather has to do is, you know, temporarily revert to something that's slightly below normal for temperatures and knock all the sort of green up progress backwards a couple weeks and maybe do some damage.
Right.
So it's not like a looming disaster, but it's you know, something to keep an eye on. Whenever you have a warm spring, the other side of it is, well, are we going to have a sort of normal deep freeze that wipes some things out?
Yeah, and I know there's definitely some wisely wary growers up here too. I know that often, because we take off sailing on Lake Superior in May and June, and I always think, oh, I'm missing it all. I'm missing the planting, and then I come back and everyone says, oh, you know, nothing really happened anyway, especially close to the lake, and you might as well have just planted at the beginning of July. And as a newcomer to Two Harbors 10 years ago, I do remember a very warm spring and thinking, why aren't people planning? And everyone just was like, nope, not time yet. We're still going to get a frost. And so certain amount of wariness is sort of built into the Northeast Minnesotan, I think, which will probably work well in a time like this.
I think that's smart. I mean, we've all sort of learned that don't trust any 70-degree day before May 1st.
Yeah,
Or 80-degree day. I mean, just don't trust it because there's another side. You know, in 1984 and also 94, at the end of April, both years, we had tornadoes and kind of like damaging tornadoes. The one in 1984 was a killer tornado. And then the other side of that was it was the same storm system. And on the cold side, two, three days later in both instances, it snowed hard.
Really?
I mean, this is, you know, so if you, you know, have a 75 or an 80 degree day or hear a lot of thunder and it's before May 1st, just take note.
Yeah.
There's another side to it that you got to be careful about.
Yeah.
And that certainly applies, you know, this week and the coming week. It's going to be a nice, you're going to have a nice weekend.
Beautiful weekend. Yeah.
Yeah. 50 today. You might hit 60 on Saturday. That's your prize day.
Okay.
Up on the North Shore.
Duly noted.
Sunday looks good too, but maybe there's a chance of some high clouds coming in and keeping temperatures down. And then we get moisture moving into the region. And so even though it'll probably feel pretty mild, it might not be as crisp or as sort of bright and sunny. It looks like a, you know, really good weekend around the state. If anyone wants to, you know, usually people from the Twin Cities go up to the North Shore.
Right.
This weekend, not a bad one to, you know, drive a couple hours southwest and sample the real spring air. Because on Saturday and especially on Sunday, you know, we could have mid-70s and even some 80s in the southern and central parts of Minnesota. And Sunday looks interesting in terms of temperatures. There's been these signs that it could get outrageously warm, you know, right around the Iowa border, where some of the models have been showing 90, which would be, it's too early to talk about a 90. But it looks like a great weekend, you know, I think. And then on Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, it'll still be pretty mild, but we're going to come under the influence of a big low-pressure system that's going to throw a lot of precipitation across at least southern Minnesota. Might get into northern Minnesota, too. But it'll keep the sunshine down a little bit. It'll bring some clouds into the region. And then as that system moves out, we'll probably, it looks like sometime later next week, we'll at least have chances of these colder air masses coming through. It's really hard to see. This thing that's coming through in the middle of next week is kind of funny looking. It's what's called a closed low, and it just means that it's sort of cut itself off a little bit from the circulation that normally drives it, so it's not perfectly synchronized with other parts of the atmosphere, and so they kind of get, these systems kind of get minds of their own. But there's some chance anyway that once that thing clears out that we get a bit cooler, and then the next wave of weather systems coming through would have the chance for not just rain but also snow. But that's something we'll be able to catch up on that next week when we talk. But it looks like in the meantime you got a great weekend and at least a mild start to the week, although the clouds will come in probably sometime Sunday. So Saturday's your day. That's the jackpot.
Okay. Great. Thank you so much, Kenny. That's a good recap for now. And we'll keep an eye on the weather as we always do. And we'll talk to you soon.
Great talking with you. Have a
All
good
right.
weekend.
You too. Bye-bye. Kenny Blumenfeld is the senior climatologist at the Minnesota Department of Natural Resources. And that was your Weather Tibbetts.